Our message this morning is four instructions to follow to enjoy the help and blessings of the Lord. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Now I'll be coming from Psalms 111. Psalms 111. Life was not easy for the Jewish remnant that returned to Jerusalem after their exile in Babylon. Their neighbors were often hostile. The Persian officials were not always cooperative. And the economy situation was difficult. Ezra and the scribes and the prophet Haggai described some of these problems in their books and point out that the Jewish people were not always faithful to the Lord or generous to each other. This was why God withheld his blessings. This psalm may have been written by one of the Levites to remind the people to put the Lord first and trust him to meet every need. The next psalm describes the blessings God will give to those who truly fear him and do his will. You know, we are not the only one that have problems. Those God's covenant people, those Jewish people, they had problems, and even sent them into exile, disobeying God and all of that. Now, even returning back, they're still going through some problems. And the Levite may have written this psalm and to help their people to realize how good God is. Now, normally when you say how good God is, we say what? All the time. And you know, people can take that as a cliche or whatever they want to do, but it's true. All the time, he is good. He is the good God. But the first thing that the writer wanted the people to understand, no matter what they were going through, coming out of exile, having all kinds of problems, and we have our own problems, don't we, saints? We have our own problems. You don't have to name them. We all got them. They may have different names, but they still treat us the same way. The first, as we look at this, in verse 1, begin with worship and praise. Begin with worship and praise. Now, we're speaking about of people in tough times, going through hardships, and different hardships affect different people different ways. Sometimes we can be going through the same hardship, but it may affect you different from the way it affect me. All right? And sometimes you can handle it better than I can. So just because you can handle the situation that we are all in better than me, don't put me down because I'm not handling it right. You help me to be able to get to where you are that I can handle it right. That means you got to instruct me about where you got your power from. See, there's a power source called Jesus. See, there's a power source called the Word of God, the Bible. The B-I-B-I what? B-I what? Huh? That is the book for who? For me. So now, here it is. The psalmist was saying and showing us through the Holy Spirit, allowing this to be written for us. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. and in the congregation. There's two words here. The assembly means a small group. You may come, Sister Charmaine, to church. The congregation is the larger group. But you may be in the back with Sister Pat, praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Now, I was coming out of my office, and there was Pat. Was that Pat and who else? Was that you, Charmaine? Who was the Pat that I saw y'all together? Just y'all were just being polite to one another. Coming out, you were getting my tea, and who was it? June. Yeah, you and June. Yeah, June is a hugger. All right? So it proves my point. I was coming out of my office, and I saw them two talking and, you know, enjoying one another. Some say that is a good thing, because I don't know how Pat left home coming to worship in the sanctuary. I don't know what June is going through coming to worship. But before they got into the congregation, there was a casual time of talking to one another, touching one another, and saying, we can get our worship on in the assembly. We are assembled together. Huh? And just like sometimes, say, Hebrew, you and Lamont, you know, y'all may see each other in the hallway or whatever, and y'all get it going. Huh? It ain't that you ain't coming in here, but you guys are assembled. And you can share some things. Huh? The psalmist says that I'm going to do that with the saints, but also I'm going to come in the sanctuary. I'm going to come in the congregation, and I'm going to keep my praise going. See, because my praise and my worship is to God and God only. And it's nothing like, if we get this thing right and understand what the psalmist is saying here, is that if I understand that I'm going through troubles, it ain't getting no better for me, my trouble. But closer I get to Jesus in my worship, closer I get to Jesus in my thinking, something strange begin to happen to me. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's no longer in the Bible that peace is in me. Don't understand all of the transmission of it getting there. Maybe the saints are praying. Maybe it's your prayer or your prayer. But I tell you what, it makes you want to worship. It makes you want to be thankful. And when you get into the realm of the psalmist is showing us of worshiping, I mean, when they come back in my office, we're worshiping, talking about the things of God. Pastor, we just want to pray for you. I guess I'd be talking to death before they can even pray for me. But I thank God, because now I'm seeing this psalm in a different way. You can't exhaust that one jot or tittle of the word of God. The psalmist says, I'm not just going to pray, praise, and worship a big group. When the little group come in my office, I'm going to do the same. They pull it away to get out and get from me. But what you understand, I may not make it to the sanctuary. It may be my intentions to make it to the sanctuary, to preach. But I may not be able to walk up them steps. I got you here now. You brothers here now praying for me. We can talk about a few things. Because you guys are assembled here with me. The psalmist says, sister, I'm going to do it in the assembly, small group, small gathering, and the congregation. So you know what this tells me? Sometimes, Rona, I can't, maybe can't get to the church. Want to, but can't. But I can praise the Lord with you. Huh? I know something we can pray by ourselves. And I know. Now, don't get Don't let the stealers take this from you now. Yes, you can pray at home by yourself. Yes, there are times to pray in your closet. But that's not what this psalm is speaking of right now. Understand, the Bible speaks of many things. And if you lock yourself down on one thing, you won't allow yourself to receive the word of God where you need to receive it at. We got to be holistic and receiving the word of God and understanding this. Amen. I thank God for your attention. He says, the Lord, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. You know, it's nothing like praising God with your whole heart. You're not half-heartedly doing it. You know, I ain't got to do it. I mean, we got some crazy attitudes sometimes when it comes to praising the Lord. Now, you can have a crazy attitude for other things, but don't have a crazy attitude when you're a saint for praising God. Don't add that. You're going on with the other things you do, but don't do it when it comes. Praise Him with your whole heart. And if you know you haven't been praising with your whole heart, tell Him and ask, God, forgive me. I've been had, I'm not talking about to the people. I'm talking from my heart to you because you know my heart. I haven't been doing it with my whole heart. Because I'm locked in. I'm locked in. I'm all messed up. See, sometimes our freedom and being unshackled is not from them other things sometimes. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. But a lot of time is that we need to be unshackled to praise. See, if we don't know the worth of praise and worship, then you'll never make time for it. You'll never even confess, I'm not doing it, Lord, according to you, not with my whole heart. Because it don't mean that much. Huh? You ought to be lucky if I give Him sometime. Part of my heart. Not with my whole heart. The psalmist is instructing us. He's instructing the people who is coming out of exile, having all kind of problems. See, there's a recipient of the psalm. We get it now, but there was a direct recipient, and that was those. Are you following me? Come on with me now in the word of God, please. Please. The word. Enemy, don't try to steal from the pastor now. You're trying to steal from me too. Let me get my head back. Where is that? Anybody praying for me? Did you pray for me today? I'm trying to do my best, y'all. Let me get here and stay on track. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. You know, sometimes you get one or two of the uprights for counseling, whatever. Or sometimes it ain't about counseling, it's just to talk. But with an upright person and in the congregation. So the first instruction Worship and praise. You got it? Okay. Worship and praise. You know, sometimes you're not going to want to do that. Sometimes we simply need to get ourselves by the neck and decide to do what is right no matter how we feel. You know, a lot of times my feelings get in my way. Do your feelings ever get in your way? Now, I know I'm saved, but sometimes I don't feel like it. Or you make me mad, so I don't feel like it. I thought I was going to feel like it. I had intention to feel like it. but you got on my last nerve. So I don't feel like it right now. Even though I'm going to church, my purpose is to praise. Now I'm going to leave Mike alone. I started to mess with you, Mike, but that's my nephew, but let me back here. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Let me say this as we go through this. I'm going to try not to hold you long. But I don't want you to miss the importance of this. A lot of us have troubles. Am I right about it? And this message is about 4 instructions to help us when you're in trouble. So you see, Philippians 4:4 say we should praise God all the time, right? We should continue to praise him. But I don't feel like praising for the bad situation. No. You praise God for who he is. You praise God for who he is. In order to do that, then the psalmist said the next thing we need to do is remember God's great works. You see, we don't live in the past. We don't live in the past. But we can go back to the past to see how faithful God was. Therefore, we can trust him no matter what we're going through now. And also, we can trust him in the future. All right? No, I'm not telling you to live in the past. But you got to have the past to know somebody was faithful. Are you with me? See, don't come here talking about I'm faithful to that. I don't know you. I don't know your past. I don't know how faithful you were in the past. So I cannot vouch for you that you will be faithful working for this person because I don't have no history of your faithfulness. Come on, somebody. But when you got a history of someone's faithfulness, you can vouch for them. Huh? So when we get bogged down with our troubles of today, we need to remember how good God was yesterday. See, we know one day to God is the same as the next day. And God is the only person that nobody can stop his faithfulness. So when you go back, roll back the curtains of your memory and remember how faithful he was to you when you were doing stuff you had no business doing. But he was faithful to keep you anyhow. Am I right about it? Huh? So the psalmist is saying, I know you got troubles. I know you're going through, but let me let you know this. Start with your hallelujah. These are hallelujah songs, praise songs that don't seem right. I don't feel like praising when I'm hurting. Wait a minute. Okay. You're hurting. I give that to you. You don't feel like praising. What you feel like doing? I feel like cussing somebody out. You're going to jail. I feel like hurting somebody. You're going to jail. Ain't no good thing from that. By the way, you say you're a Christian. But I got that kind I lay down and I pick up. Well, I'm not talking to you. I'm going to give you the gospel. If you got the kind you lay down and you can pick it up when you want to, you need the gospel. You may have the wrong kind of righteousness. You may have a work righteousness. Romans 10. And my heart beat for you if you get saved. But I'm talking to the saints. Let me tell you, a lot of things that come over to the saints, when you take yourself out of the category to receive it, You don't receive it because you have took yourself out of the category to receive it. And what I mean by that, if you got a mentality, it's always for somebody else. It ain't for me. And you begin to believe that, feast on that, wail yourself to that, but you're about to free yourself up. Because sometimes all I can do is say, Lord, help me. God, keep me together. Keep me together so I can do what you call me to do. You about to keep me together. I don't have no time for no pretty words to the Lord. He know my heart. He know my hurt. And God, when I'm getting intimate with you, with my praise and my worship and getting in my closet on my face by myself, when I'm there, I'm looking for you to touch me so I can go some more. And then when he touched me, I feel energized. I feel that God has said, I got you. I feel like that saying that you didn't see the footprints because I was carrying you. So don't dare put yourself in a position that you can no longer hear the preached word of God because you have took yourself out of the position of hearing what does say the Lord. See, you should always want to hear the word of God, even if you use it to witness, even if you use it for somebody else. What can I do? I'm just going through it. I'm going through it. And they tell you their problem, where they're hurting at. Well, now you can say, I tell you what, how about we just praise the Lord for a moment? Now I got scripture on it. Here's a group of people who's going through it. Tough time. They came out of tough time. And when they landed, they were right back in tough time. Come on, somebody. The exile, when they came out of Babylon, they came right back. There was trouble in the land. The Levite, the preacher. Let me go on. Remember, God is ready. Let's look at this. 2-6. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation, the upright, will be blessed. See, no matter what you're going through, you are the upright. And you will be blessed. He knew what they were going through, Sheila. But he said, what we got to do now is remember God's great works and God's great promises. Wealth and riches will be in his house. But I don't have nothing there now. Wait a minute. But he said that you are an heir and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. If I'm a joint heir, that means that I participate in whatever the other heir has. Part of what he has, I have. And then I got to ask myself, who am I joint heirs with? And the one I'm joint heirs with, what do he own? What do he have? Can he lose what he got? Can we even count what he got? See, what it is, y'all, it is our belief system. Nothing wrong with God. Everything he said here is true. It's you and me. If my belief system is not up to par, I cut my own throat disbelieving who I am, what I am, what I have, and how blessed I am. And you can actually say, I'm an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Though I may be broke right now, I'm still an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It get better for me. You see, sometimes you're not doing yourself no favor or God no favor when you won't walk in trusting God, when you won't walk in faith. See, when God says it's impossible to please him, without faith it's impossible to please him, we don't know to what spectrum that go. Most of the time we read that, we got a set thing in our mind as we read it. Don't put a set thing in your mind when you read the Word of God, because the Word of God covers a lot of land. The Word of God can cover for me what I'm thinking at this time, cover for you what you're thinking, cover for you think, with the one word going out. So if he's telling us who we are, let's embrace it and start being, acting like who we really are. See, I got all of this, you got all of this, but many times I don't act like I have. I don't act like an heir in a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I don't act like I own anything. See, I'm doing myself a disservice. We're not talking about walking in pride. No. Let's get that out. No, not walking in pride, but walking in belief. Let's get it straight. See, we will come down on somebody when they walk in pride. Because we know the fall come with that pride. Am I right about it? But I'm telling you something. A lot of times we don't come down on folk when they're not walking in belief. See, a lot of our problems sometimes is not the problem. Sometimes God allowed a problem to be there that you can turn to him. Sometimes he'll linger the problem because it's been a long time since you turned to me, and now that I got you turning to me, I want you to park for a minute and stay here with me for a moment. Huh? Because sometimes, let me tell you something. Man. Woo, I just can't get it all out. It's nothing like you truly going through something. And you can feel a peace. When you know yesterday that peace won't there. And a lot of times now I get that peace, I'm not even searching for where it come or who prayed it on me. I'm just, I'm feeling peace, y'all. That's why I mess with y'all a little bit today. No, I'm not just trying to mess with you, but I want what's happening to me to rub off on you. I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't even know whether I got to cry tomorrow. But today, one day at a time, I know that he's with me. His presence is strong. So in your weakest times, whatever befalls you or whatever seems to hold you down as a burden, I want you to know there's relief in Jesus. Start praising him. Every now and then, I know you're not used to putting your hand up. I got it. I know you ain't got it. I got a different way. I got it. The Levite wrote writing this. But it won't hurt you every now and then. Just say thank you. You see, let me tell you something. When that's not your habit, and there are postures all through the Old Testament of how to praise God. Nothing wrong with the hands. Nothing wrong with prostrating out, bending. Nothing wrong with none of that. But let me tell you something else that you do. When you may not be used to that, may not be your thing. But if every now and then you will raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. If every now and then you would just stand up I'm just standing up because now my legs work. And wave your hand. See, sometimes it ain't about you. But if somebody that's in their affliction and somebody that's going through a tough time would see you, which is not normal for you, get up. God must be who the Word of God say he is. Now you say what you want. There are people who really look at other people. For whatever reason. If so-and-so get up, then I'll get up. If they don't get up, whatever. But then you got those people, I don't care who don't get up. I'm gonna give him glory. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it took for me to be here today. And maybe yesterday I didn't praise him. I didn't worship him. Because maybe yesterday I didn't have what's on me today. But what's on me today? Taking away the shame. What's on me today? I'm not seeing others. Because this is not others' worship. This is the worship of the congregation. As the Levite wrote. And not only will I get in my closet, not only will I get with a good buddy and talk about scripture and the things of God, but when I come in the place of worship, the sanctuary of the congregation, and think back how good he'd been to old Rick. When no one thought I would make it, God chose me. When I was counted out, swept out like trash, God said, I choose Ricks. When no one would have picked me, God picked me. This boy's mine. Full of a lot of stuff growing up. He didn't know he was going to make it himself. But look at me and Jesus. Jesus loved me. And I gave myself to the Lord. I don't care about folk coming and going. That's their business. A lot of folk doing that, they're clueless. But I know where he brought me from. Not only do I know where he brought me from, I know where I'm going. Now I'm going to try to take as many as I can with me. So every now and then, walk in here with your problems. But tell your problems for this hour, you take the back seat. Because I need all of the Lord that I can receive. Because pretty soon, problems. You won't just take the back seat. You won't even be coming in them doors with me. I leave you next week out in the foyer. Heading to the door. Because I don't want you to intercept my praise and worship to the one and true living God. David is a man after my own heart. David don't mind praising me. David don't mind giving me glory. David made God speak. He's a man after my heart. His love for me, his worship for me. He embarrassed himself. What are you doing out there dancing? I wonder what some of us, we've been in, what crowd would we been in when David was dancing as they was bringing all back in, and he's happy. Would it have been like his wife? Or, now, he the king. What are you doing? That ain't necessary. You know what I found? Some things ain't necessary to you because a lot of times you ain't been where other folk been. Some of these folk would tell you how low they were when God picked them up. Some of y'all, even now, if you ain't spiritual enough, you wouldn't even want to be around them. Or you want to criticize them. You about to praise him. Let me move on. Let Pastor move on. What's the next one? God's people does not live in the past, but they know how to use the past to give them encouragement in the present and in the future. You know, if you've been through something in the past, you may have been through something that you figured would have took you out in the past when it was fresh. But now you're here, and that's back here. When you were here, you didn't know you would be able to come here. But when you were here, you received some help back here. Like when Peter received some help and they were praying for him, doors flung open. He walked out. Back here, somebody prayed for me. Then I got here. You too. Pray for your children. Pray for you. You're about to give him glory. Give him some praise. But let me move on. Now the third one is, did I read all six? I think I got stuck. And I need to go on now. Did I read, in the assembly of the upright, verse 2-6, yeah. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Wow. Do you have pleasure in the work of the Lord? His work is honorable and glorious. And his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nation. Now imagine some of those people with this psalm coming to them, what they were going through at that time, the recipients. But right now, my neighbor not treating me right. But right now, some of the Jews are not doing right by me. I got a situation, Levite, and you are going back and talking about how good God is. He's not always going back, because even whatever they were going through, God was still sustaining them. If you get another day, God sustain you. You need to begin to count your blessings one by one. Then you can see what God have done. But not only that, we go to the next one. We must rely on God's word. We must rely on God's word. My. Isn't it something about God's word? The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. You may want to underline or highlight that, you know, the precepts here, the words of God. But the word of God is sure. The word of God is sure. So whenever you are reading God's word, you're studying God's words for yourself, or you're listening to the radio or the preached word, whenever I preach the word of God and rightly handle it, it's sure. The word of God is sure. Okay? You can count on the word of God. They stand fast forever and ever. Wow. And are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. My. Man, you turn from your troubles, Levite. You turn from your troubles and the people trouble, and you turn to your God, and you begin to bless the name of God. You know, sometimes, Mike, if it's a situation and you all messed up in the head about it, you just that, and somebody just turns to start telling you about the goodness of the Lord. Now you see it. I don't want to hear that. No. Right now, I don't have that answer for you. But I got a answer for you from the same God. You see, while I'm waiting on today's help from God, because my help comes from the Lord. While I'm waiting on today's help, I can remember yesterday's help. And what he's saying, yesterday help, Dr. Ricks, when you didn't want my degree, yesterday help, put a fire under you. Huh? But it was just a little something I was trying to do to cheer you up. It was all done in fun. I took time on that thing too, knowing you weren't gonna want it. See, every now and then, while I'm waiting on my deliverance, tell me what God have done in the past. Let me tell you, while I need to know what he done in the past, I need to hear you cite some things he done in the past, because you can tell me about some things he done for you in the past if you talking to me today about how he would help me. Because I can ask the question, how did he help you? Oh, don't go there. It'll take all night. How many ways he helped you? But why do you think, bro, Hebrew, when those people were in just out of exile and what they were going through, why God would take them back in the past and all that he's doing? See, sometimes we think, if I don't get blessed with what I want now, God don't mean nothing. If he can't do nothing for me now, wait a minute. Have you forgot all he have done for you? And if he do something for you now, you're going to need him tomorrow too. You're going to need him the next day too. You're going to need him the next day too. You're going to need him when your kids are babies. You're going to need them when they're a little bit older. You're going to need them when they're teenagers. You're going to need them when they're grown. So we need to know something about our caring God. And not only that, sometimes we tend to forget his goodness. Sometimes we'll praise him and we'll pray, we'll be diligent, we'll be faithful. Until we get what we want, then you can't find us. I'm telling you something. Sometimes God will let stuff linger because he wants your attention. God ain't going to do everything for you quick, fast, in a hurry. But when he don't do it quick, fast, in a hurry, he want to know, do you still trust me? I ain't going to do it quick, fast, in a hurry. Will you trust me? See, sometimes we got to wait on the Lord. Sometimes in this process of my life, in my spiritual journey in eternity, it's a waiting room. And many times over this journey, God will pop me in the waiting room. I want to come out so bad. But God say, you can't come out, because when you come out, you're going to come out with your blessing. But you got to wait on the Lord. And you got to be of good courage while you're waiting. You got to preach anyhow while you're waiting. You got to live righteously anyway while you're waiting. You can't tell God, well, I'm going to start living a sinful life because you didn't give me mine quick, fast, and a hurry. He said, you know what? I just put 6 more months on it. Now get sassy again, Rick. Get sassy. Get sassy. Lord, can I get this 6 months back off it by confessing my sin? You said if I confess it, you will forgive me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Huh? See, a lot of times we are staying in things a little bit longer, maybe, because we need it. You know, a lot of times God will pick you to suffer. Yes. Hand pick you. All right, theologian. For his own purpose. Hand pick you to suffer for his own purpose and won't tell you. Didn't tell you nothing yet. And don't act like Job friends with somebody. You know, when you feel you know a little word. You know, it's very, can you imagine somebody going through something because God handpicked them and you tell them, well, I can tell you where you're a sinner. I can tell you that. You can't tell them. Did God tell you that? No, he ain't tell me. I know somebody else that what happened to them. That ain't me. Woo! Let me finish because y'all are funny. Let me give you the last one. What's the last one? Obey his will. The awesomeness of God's name leads to importance of fearing the Lord and obeying, fearing the Lord and obeying his will. Wow, fearing the Lord and obeying his will. The fear of the Lord is a topic mentioned frequently in scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs. It is not the slavish fear of a criminal before a judge, but the loving and reverential fear of a child for his or her parents. If we want to understand God's work, and God's word, we must maintain this reverential fear of the Lord. For this attitude is the basis for receiving spiritual wisdom and understanding. You can look in Job 28, Proverbs 1:7, and Proverbs 9:10. The word beginning means the principal part. And without this, we are unprepared to learn God's truth. But fearing the Lord leads to obeying the Lord. And obedience is important to spiritual understanding. John 7 and 17. How all of this works out in a particular daily life is explained in the next Psalm, Psalm 112. If you want to read it, you can do that later. But the thing is, these four things, obey his will, rely on God's word. I'm going up backwards. Remember God's great works. Begin with worship and praise. No matter what's the condition that you're in, begin with worship and praise. Don't let nobody talk you out of worship and praising the Lord. Don't let nobody talk you out of your relationship that you have personally with the Lord. See, a lot of people will speak on your behalf and they know nothing really about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.